Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Family Matters. And family does matter, and your family matters, and our family matters, and we're looking at different matters that are things that we deal with in our families. And today we're going to be talking about secrets for fruitful grandparenting. I'd like you to open up your Bible, if you have one, to Psalm 71. And there's one probably there right in front of you if you want to pull that out. The page number is right there on the front of the study guide at the bottom there. And take your Bible and turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And inside of your program is what we call a study guide, a sermon guide. And so if you would go in and pull that out of your program and follow along, and there's some blanks to fill in, if you'd like to fill those in, that would be fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're here today, and today is something special at our church, and it is our first ever Grandparents Sunday at Capital Baptist Church. And this is something we've never done here before, and I don't know if you know this, there is a Grandparents Day in our country, and that is a special day every year in September. And the background of that day, I'll just kind of share this with you, because I didn't know it. Maybe you are smart in these areas, but I'm not, okay? But this actually started in 1978, when then President Jimmy Carter signed this into law by a unanimous vote of the Congress. Can you believe this? They actually had a unanimous vote in the Congress, okay? And I am so glad they agreed on grandparents, okay? That would have been pretty bad if we'd got some negative votes on grandparents, okay? But fortunately, we pushed it through, and it was a 100% unanimous vote of the Congress, and then President Jimmy Carter signed into law a holiday, a national holiday in the United States of America called Grandparents' Day. Well, this is not September, okay? This is actually March, okay? But we're making this a special day in our own church because this is part of our Family Matters series. And what we're doing in this series is we're kind of walking our way, kind of in a sense from beginning to end, if you will, when it comes to the family. And we started out with the first message, Secrets to a God-Honoring Family. And if you missed that message, I urge you, go to capitalbaptist.org and listen to that message. It is so foundational. And in that message, what I did was I painted a picture of a functional family. You know, most of us in this room did not grow up in a healthy family. We grew up in an unhealthy family. And so a lot of people, they want to have a good family. They just don't know what to do. They don't even know what a family is supposed to be like. And so in that first message, we did a biblical picture of the family and what the Bible says a family is supposed to do. And so, again, if you missed that message, go back and listen to that. Then we moved into a series of what I would call three duos that kind of go together. We did a whole message on single and happy. And then we did a whole message also on a satisfying marriage. So we looked at kind of like the single life, and then we looked at the married life. Then we moved into the next duo, I call it, and we looked at the two biggest problem areas in the family. And those two areas are communication and money. No doubt about it. These are the biggest challenges that families face, communicating and dealing with money issues. Now we're in our last duo, okay, of messages. And we're doing a message today on grandparenting. Last week we did one on parenting, successful parenting. And so now we're moving to this next natural phase, and that is we're looking at grandparenting. Now, I personally have never heard a message on grandparenting. Maybe you have, okay? Maybe you have. But I have yet personally to meet anybody. I put it on my Facebook. I've been talking about this, just hoping somebody would say, I heard a message one time on grandparenting. I've never heard one. And so far, I haven't discovered anybody's ever heard one. And so you're going to be shocked today when you see what the Bible says about this, and yet we've never taught a biblical worldview of grandparenting. And then next Sunday, you want to be here at all possible, we'll end with Secrets for a Lasting Family. We're also going to be having communion next Sunday. And the Bible says before we partake of communion, we're to examine ourselves. So that's the biblical command. Before you take communion, you're to examine your life. You're to judge yourself, it says. Judge yourself. And so please prepare your heart, and prepare your life next Sunday for this special time together as we have communion together. Now, as we talk about grandparenting, we need to realize this is a big issue. And one of the reasons it's a big issue is today in America, we have more grandparents than any other time in our history. And this trend, I mean, if you just look at the demographics, this trend is probably going to continue indefinitely, okay? Probably just going to keep on being that way. But today in America, there are more grandparents than any other time in human history. You know what I call that? I call that a grand opportunity. A grand opportunity to make a difference. So I am a grandparent, and I'm glad for that. And right now I want to ask every grandparent in the room to stand up. If you are a grandparent over here, stand up. If you're a grandparent here, stand up. If you're a grandparent here, stand up. If you're a grandparent over here, stand up, okay? Yay! More power, okay? All right. And if you couldn't stand up because of health reasons, you stood up on the inside. Amen, okay? And that's good stuff. We honor you today. We welcome you today. We thank you, okay? And there are many grandchildren in the room here or in the other building. And we're excited about you having your grandchildren with you today. And some of them come every week with you. And some came just for today. We really appreciate that a whole bunch for those making an extra effort to be here today. And we are going to provide you a picture. If you want to go out and get a picture with your grandparents or your grandchildren, right after this service, you go right out here to the area between the two buildings. There's a cross right there. And Christian Lilo will take your picture, okay? And we'll email that picture to you, okay? And that'll be something special for you to remember this day. So you're here with your grandparents or with your grandkids. Go get a picture, okay? Go get a picture. And you say, can I get a picture? And I don't have... Yeah, go on out there. If you need a picture, okay? That's fine. Take a selfie or whatever. Remember we said, a single person is a family, okay? So step on out there. You're married or whatever. Anybody can take a picture, okay? But first priority will be grandparents and grandchildren, okay? Well, where do we start? Man, I've been stressed about this. Where do I start? I mean, there is so much in the Bible about this. So much I didn't know. And what I decided to do was to rest ourselves in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. As we talk about this very important issue of grandparenting and how to be fruitful. Anybody can be a grandparent. You know? But can you be a fruitful grandparent? Can you be a fruitful grandparent? That's what we're after today as we look at God's Word. Psalm 71. We're going to actually do a breakdown of verses 17 and 18. But to get the full context, let's go back to verses 5 through 9. Psalm 71. Who's writing this? His name is David. David. Now, David, a couple things to know about David. Number one is David's probably kind of middle-aged. Because what he's going to do is he's going to talk about what it was like when he was young. And then he's going to talk about what it's like when he's thinking about his old age. So he's probably what we might call middle age. Middle age. Because he looks back in his youth. And then he looks forward at what it's going to be like when he's a senior person. Number two, we know that David's in trouble. We know that David's in trouble. We know that David has enemies coming against him. We know that he's going through a tough time in his life. And there's a lot of adversity. There's a lot of hard stuff going on in his life. And out of that, David cries out to God. And he begins to pray to God. And here's what he says in Psalm 71, verses 5 through 9. For you are my hope, O Lord God. Are you going through a tough time today? God is your hope. God is your hope today. You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust, listen, from my youth. From my youth. He's going to talk about his youth. I just want to say, you say, well, I am young. I mean, being a grandparent is so far out there. You know what you're going to learn today? The time to be a fruitful grandparent is when you're young. You might think, oh, that is so far in the future. It is going to blow your mind how fast it goes. It's going to totally blow your mind how fast it goes. And what the Bible is going to tell you that are young today, it's going to tell you now is the time to get ready to be a grandparent. Now is the time to get ready to be a grandparent. He says, Lord, you've been with me from my youth. From my youth. Verse 6, by you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. And then he says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. You know, a lot of our culture has cast off people that are of old age. That is a huge mistake. I'm telling you, experience is important. It is so important. And there are some things you only learn by being around a long time. You know? And everybody you meet has something about them that you need to know. And everybody you meet knows things you don't know. And you need to value all people, including those, as he says, of an old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. God, help me when I get old. God, do not forsake me. Do not forsake me. I love these words. I mean, he's being transparent. He's being open. He's being real. I mean, this is the deepest spot in his heart. He's crying out to God. And then, here's what he says in verses 17 and 18, and we're going to break this down, and we're going to look at it. He begins to pray, and here's his prayer. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. What an incredible prayer. This is the grandparents' prayer, if you will. Let's look at it. Let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about secrets for fruitful grandparenting. Now, as we begin today, I want to share a verse with you, and I want to share about my own life. And I want to begin by describing to you a biblical worldview of grandchildren and how God describes grandchildren. And this is what he says in Proverbs 17:6. Children's children, that would be your grandchildren, your children's children, they are a crown. Underline that. They are a crown. Circle the word crown. Of old men. Now, it doesn't say old women. And the reason it says old women is, if you know anything about Proverbs, it's a father writing to his son. So the whole way that book is kind of geared is a father talking to his son. And so he's talking about old men. But the application, of course, includes old women. I've never met any old women, but if there are any around, that would be great, okay? How do you view your grandchildren? You know how God views your grandchildren? God views them as a crown. Your grandchildren are a crown. Now, God has blessed Debbie and I with 4 crowns. Now, today, if you're listening online, we welcome you. You can't see what I look like today, but I'm actually wearing a T-shirt today and jeans and tennis shoes. So, and I have a black ceiling now, so I'm really a cool pastor, okay? And I'm told no telling what's going to happen now that I've introduced a black ceiling, okay? But I've dressed the way I've dressed today because I want to wear my T-shirt, my cool T-shirt. And my cool t-shirt says something like this: I love being a pastor. And you know what? I do love to be a pastor. And I think you know that about me. I've spent, 30 plus years literally working 60, 80, 90 hours every week, okay? I'm not asking you. That's not what I'm asking for, okay? Thank you. I do appreciate that, okay? So if you know me, you know I love being your pastor. And I love being, the lead senior pastor of Capital Baptist Church. And I'm honored that you've given me that privilege. Thank you so much. But it says I love even more being a grandpa. I love it even more. You know what? That's true. Because I bought the t-shirt. My kids didn't give me this t-shirt. I bought this t-shirt. I got another grandpa shirt they bought for me, but I personally bought this one right here, okay? So let me introduce you to my crowns. I've got four crowns. Debbie and I have four crowns. Crown number one is, listen, this is Olivia. Now, this little girl, she's 2 years old now. She came into our lives and rocked our world, okay? And you see that big smile on our faces? Okay, that comes from the heart and comes out the face right there, okay? She's our oldest, and we thank the Lord for her. Mom and dad is George, and her mom is Sarah, our second daughter, Sarah. This is their child. And our second crown, okay, is Salima, okay? Salima. And so this is the first evening she was born, and Debbie and I are holding our precious little second grandchild, Salima. Salima means peace, peace. And she's about 2 months old. Really, it's pretty cool because we got 2 weeks, 2 months. And Camden's actually now 3 weeks old. But I'll say 2 weeks just because it sounds good, okay? So 2 years, 2 months, and around 2 weeks or whatever, okay? And so we're thankful for Salima. Her name means peace. And this is our oldest daughter's daughter, Crystal, and her husband, Bakri, Salima Koulibaly. And then the third one is Camden. This is our grandson, Camden, here, okay? And so God blessed us with our first grandson here. And his name is Camden Stephen. Don't miss that. That's my name, okay? Camden Stephen Reynolds. And Jeremiah, we named our son Jeremiah Alfred after my dad. And they continued that tradition. I really wanted the first name, but I didn't get it. But anyway, I do not have a root of bitterness about this at all, okay? And how can I argue? Because that's what I did with my kids. So, man, sometimes you don't stand a chance, okay? And then the next one is our fourth crown. And our fourth crown is right there, okay? And this is Baby Aji Girl 2. Baby Aji Girl 2. And this is our daughter Sarah. And her husband's name is George. And so this crown will come into the world end of June, early July. So I'm a grandpapa. My wife is a grandmama. These are our crowns. How do you view your grandchildren, grandparents? They are a crown that God has given you. Wow. That is special. That's funny. Some of you are great grandparents. Think about being that kind of a person in your life. So what can we do to be fruitful with these crowns? Three things. Number one, know God early in life. Know God early in life. David says, "Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. Oh God, you've taught me from my youth." You know, when's the best time to prepare to be a grandparent? When you're young. It's when you're young. It's when you're young. And the key word here is to learn. When you're young, now is the time to get to know God and to learn of God, to get to know the Lord. Listen, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. This is such an important verse, and you ought to teach this verse to your kids. You need to remember God when you're young. And here's why. The reason you need to remember God is most young people make the three biggest decisions of life when they're young. What are those three massive decisions? Number one, you decide what you're going to do with Christ. You decide, most people receive Jesus 18 and under. If you got saved beyond that, that's great. And many people do get saved beyond 18. But the majority, I got saved when I was 10. You say, I want to win people to Jesus. I want to be a soul winner. Where's the most productive place I can be a soul winner? Children's ministry. Children's ministry. You want to win people to Jesus in the biggest way? You get involved in the children's ministry. Again, can you accept Jesus later in life? You certainly can, okay? But you decide about Jesus and whether to get saved or not saved. And more than that, is He going to be the leader of your life? Number two, you decide about a companion. Now, I know these days people are getting married later in life, late 20s, early 30s, things like that. That's, you know, kind of normal these days. But, you know, you begin as a young person forming what kind of person you want to have as a spouse. And many people do get married when they're much younger than that, okay? Many get married when they're, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, whatever, like Debbie and I did in our lives. And you decide, who are you going to stand before God and witness it and say, you know, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, for sickness or health, till death do us part? I mean, that's a big decision, wouldn't you say? Number three, you decide about your career. Now, I know these days people will have multiple careers. They'll, for a while, they'll be, this, and then, you know, next decade there'll be that or whatever. I know the world is changing, but at the same time, you really lay some strong foundation about the trajectory of your future when you're young, okay? And when you get into something and you're young, I mean, you know, yes, sometimes people switch around, but a lot of times they can't switch around. It's impossible. And you decide what you're going to do 40 plus hours of your life every week for the rest of your life. These are huge decisions. And what I've taught our children is, listen, you want a quality life? You want an awesome life? You get these three decisions right. You decide right about Christ. You decide right about a companion. And you decide right about a career. You're going to have the most awesome life in the world, okay? But if you don't, you're going to limit your life, okay? Because you're never going to experience true fulfillment in life without Jesus. I can tell you that right now, okay? If you go marry the wrong person, that's going to affect you. If you don't get in the right career track, that's going to affect you. Listen, if you're young, this is not the time to blow off God. Remember the capital C. He's your maker, creator in the days of your youth. Young people, don't blow off God right now. Don't ever blow Him off. Is He a God of grace? Can he help us with our, you know, can we make mid-course corrections? And can we fail forward? And can we do better? And yes. He's a great God in those areas. You know what? It's much better not to have to do that, okay? It's much better not to have to do that. Learn of God. Be able to one day talk to your grandchildren and say, listen, man, I got accepted Christ when I was young and I lived for Christ. I'm so glad I did that. Man, I met your grandmother or grandfather and man, we did things right and we lived a pure life and we got married and we had a wonderful marriage these 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Man, this is how you do marriage. Man, I chose a career and I did well in my career and I enjoyed it. I liked it. And I want to talk to you about that, grandchild. That's the way to do it right there, okay? That's the way to do it. Know God early in life. Number two, glorify God during life. Glorify God during life. Now, like I said, David's probably kind of middle-aged. So he looks back when he's young. And then we're going to see he looks forward when he's old. So we don't know how old he is here. Maybe 40 years old, 50 years old, whatever. Who knows, okay? But we know he's kind of in the middle because he says, this day I declare your wondrous works. Now, I love it. Twice he says, I declare. David has something, and it's not like, I declare. No, it's like, I declare, okay? I declare. He had something, I want to declare something. I want to declare something. And here's what he wanted to declare. He wanted to declare, first of all, your capital Y, meaning God, God's wondrous works. But what's he saying? I want to glorify God. I want to glorify God. The key word here is light. Light. Be a light to your grandchildren. You know, you can't control your kids. You can't control your grandchildren, but you can influence them. You can influence them. And you need to make sure you're an influence in your kids' lives. You need to make sure you're an influence in your grandchildren's lives and your great-grandchildren's lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. So listen, don't put your light under a bushel, he says, or hide it under a basket, but put it out on a lampstand and give light to all who are in the house, in your family. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, my favorite grandparent in the Bible is a woman named Lois. And she's mentioned in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. This is my favorite grandparent in the Bible. And here Paul writes to a young man named Timothy and says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, underline that, first, dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, underline that. And then it says, your mother Eunice, I am persuaded, is in you also. So Paul was a family friend of this family. He knew Timothy, he knew Timothy's grandmother, he knew Timothy's mother. And probably, I know, not probably, I know he knew his dad too. Now, one thing you need to observe here is the dad's not mentioned. And the reason the dad's not mentioned is, according to Acts chapter 16, he probably was not a believer. So he didn't have this faith that's being spoken of. And some of you are in situations like that, where one parent or one grandparent is a believer and the other is not a believer. And so here's the deal. Here is a godly grandmother and a godly mother, and they raised up a godly son. And the reason they did that was they were light. They were influencers to Timothy. So listen, if you're in that type of situation, don't give up. It's not impossible to raise a godly grandchild, even if you're in a situation where the father is an unbeliever, or maybe the father or the mother is not even around, okay? A single parent situation and things like that. It can be done. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy, Paul's kind of the elder Christian statesman, and he's writing to a young man named Timothy who is a pastor. And I think one of the reasons I like this passage so much is my brother and I both had a Lois, and both of us had a Eunice. And we're both pastors. So, I mean, maybe that's why I like this passage so much. I don't know. Okay, I'm a Timothy. I can relate to this passage, that my father and my grandfathers were believers or whatever, okay? So the bottom line is, you need to have influence. Now, I want to talk a little bit about my grandparents. Let me tell you about my grandparents. And this is some stuff most of you have never heard me talk about, okay? But I want to introduce you to the most influential grandparents of my own life, okay? And so the first one I want to mention here is, this is the grandmother that had the most influence on me, because my other grandfather, we're going to see later, his wife, my grandmother, died when my mom was only 4 years old, okay? So my mom didn't know her mom, and I didn't know her mom at all, okay? And so this is my dad, this is my mom, this is my grandma, and this is my grandfather, Homer Reynolds. These are my cousins, this is my brother here, and these are some of my cousins, and then there I am right there, okay? Now, I have no memory of this man here. Okay, I don't remember him at all, okay? If there are other pictures of me with him, I don't know anything about them, okay? So I'm got a little bit of age on me here, but I don't have any recollection of Homer, okay? I don't have any recollection. Now, I have a lot of recollection of this woman right here, okay? And the reason is, I spent lots of summers, and actually other times as well, weekends, where I would go and just be there with her, and they had a family farm, and I would go down there and, you know, help out in the family farm and things like that. And she was such an influence in my life. such a wonderful influence in my life. These are country people. I come from country people, okay? None of these people ever graduated from high school. None of them, okay? None of them ever graduated from high school. My brother was the first one in our family to graduate from high school, graduate from college. Okay? So he and I both, I think I got through high school. I did. Okay. And then, you know, so both of us went on to get master's degrees or whatever. Okay, this was not our family heritage. This was not our family background. These are country people, okay? I would go to a country house. It did not have any indoor plumbing, okay? Now, I know what it's like to get up in the middle of the night freezing, okay, and peeing in a bucket or whatever, okay? I know what it's like. I'm going to give you more information than you ever wanted, okay? So close your ears right now if you need to. I know what it's like to go to a outhouse. I know what it's like to wipe my rear end with a Sears magazine, okay? Close your ears. I warned you, okay? I'm just trying to get you to understand who I am, okay? Where I came from. Because I'm up here in the big city, and I like to think I'm a pretty decent leader, okay? Not a bad pastor, you know? This is the heritage I came from, and I'm proud of my heritage, okay? Next picture. Now, this is my mom, dad, my papa, and this is her brother, his son. Now, this is important because this is my papa. And papa's wife died when she was 24 years old. My mom, this is my mama, she was only 4 years old. And this is her brother, Greg. This is my Uncle Greg and my mama and my papa. So, you know, this was a difficult situation in our family because my mom, you know, she has no memory of her mother, you know. And she, if you know anything about my mama, she's a massive homemaker and you know, takes care of everybody. This is how she grew up. Early in life, she had to give up being a kid. She really never knew what it was like to be a kid. Early in life, she had, because they were on the farm too, okay? And they weren't playing, you know, video games. You know, she became the mom in the house, you know. He gets married, but much later he gets married. This man raised them. He was a single dad, okay? He was a single dad. And he brought them up in a wonderful, wonderful way. Next picture. Now is going back to that grandma, okay? So her husband, Homer, my grandfather, Homer, passes. Okay, he was only 65 years old when he passed. But grandma lived on, okay? Grandma lived on. So this is my dad, her son. She had eight kids, and this is my dad. And this is my older brother, Don. And there I am, Steve, okay? That there. Okay. Anyway, moving forward here. Okay. Got my husky shorts on, whatever. Okay. 100 pounds in first grade. Okay. Now, the reason for this picture is what's in this woman's arm right here. Okay. That is the biggest, blackest King James Version Bible you've ever seen in your whole life. Okay. And if you'll note, I don't know if you can see it. It is well worn. Okay. It is well worn. And I would go down there and her name was Emma Reynolds. I called her Grandma. And I'd spend, weeks at a time, you know, at the farm and things like that. My cousin Dillard actually lived like property next door, and he was there almost year round every night, okay, just to make sure somebody was with Grandma. That was kind of the idea. And every night, this woman right here would break out that biggest, blackest King James Version Bible you ever seen. And it would be dark. There was no electricity, okay? We'd have a little candle there. And she'd put on one of these old, this old school, you know, 90s or whatever, just, you know, wool. And she'd be up there and she'd have all this gook on her face. I can smell her right now. She stunk to high heaven, okay, with all this gook she'd put on her face. And she'd sit them two boys down there, Dylan and Steve, and every night she'd read that Bible to us. Every night she'd read that Word of God. Do you understand who I am today? Do you know why I'm where I'm at today? Because I had some light given to me. I have some light given to me. I come from godly people. I come from a godly background. I know what it's like to have a grandmother named Lois, but her name is Emma. I know what it's like to have a mother named Eunice. Her name is Betsy. You know, I know what it's like. And I thank God for the influence these people. And listen, it's continuing on. Next picture. See what else we got here. Okay. We're going to move on here. Okay. Just real quick. This is my papa. That's that guy that raised the two kids. This is now his adult child. That's my dad. There I am. See how fat I am? There I am again. Okay. Now, papa, this is probably a Sunday picture. But he dressed up on Saturdays. Because he washed dishes. That's what he did. That was his life. He was a dishwasher. But yeah, he worked in a restaurant and by hand washed dishes. And so he was grungy all week. And on weekends, he loved to dress up. He'd come to our house pretty much every Saturday. We'd go pick him up. And I don't remember ever going over his house. He got married later. And his wife, you ever hear of these people that have 42 cats? His wife, my stepmother, who I never really knew, she was a cat maniac. People say, you don't like cats. You better believe I can't stand cats, okay? That house stunk from the road. We would pick him up on the street, and I could smell those stinking cats. Okay, moving forward here, okay? We're not perfect. We're dysfunctional, too. Okay, whatever, okay? He would stink, too, by the way. Anyway, moving forward here, okay? But he was a gentleman. He was a gentleman. Okay. All right. All I'm trying to tell you is, grandparents, they going to have any pictures of you? What do you think they're going to be saying about you? Are they going to say, my grandfather was light. My grandmother was light. Number three, as we wrap it up, boy, I wish I had longer on this. Maybe I'll do a series on this. Show God late in life. Show God late in life. And the key word here is legacy. He says in verse 18, now also when I am old. Again, he's probably middle-aged. He looks back, he looks forward. He says, now when I get old and I'm gray-headed, oh God, don't forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Here's what you got to know. In your family chain, you're always one generation from extinction. Christianity, there's no guarantee Christianity will continue in my family unless Debbie and I continue to carry that baton. What's going to be your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to say? David says, I want to declare your strength to this generation. I want to declare your power to everyone who is to come. Who is to come in your family? In our family, it's Olivia, it's Salima, it's Camden, it's baby Aji girl too. They're the ones that is to come. And guess what? Debbie and I have got to take that baton of Jesus and we got to pass it on. We got to pass it on. And if we don't, it could all end, you know? There's no guarantee it will continue. We've got to all step up. Do that. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for each grandparent here and their grandchildren. Lord, we pray for those that are like me, whose grandparents have passed. Lord, just thank you for their memory. God, thank you for their influence. In Jesus' name, amen.